Dear congregation, we know that when a farmer goes out and prepares the field in the springtime and sows his seed, he does that for a purpose. And his purpose is that there may be a harvest at the end of the growing season. His purpose and his prayer is that that seed would bring forth fruit, that there will be a crop. Indeed, there will be a harvest. So this afternoon we read from Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower and the seed. Children, we have heard this story before from the Gospel according to Mark. But you will remember that that sower in the Old Testament times would take a large container of seed under his arm, and he would dip his hand in there and broadcast it as he stepped through the field. And he would sow that seed, and it would fly all over, and there would be little seeds falling all over. All over that field. And as he was sowing, if this was a believer in God, he would be praying, "Oh God, bless the seed. Bring forth a harvest." Then we heard the Lord Jesus as he told this parable, that he told us there are really only two kinds of result. There were those who brought forth no fruit or no crop, those of the seed that there was no harvest at the end of it. And there was a section of the field where there was a crop. And the disciples asked the Lord Jesus afterwards to explain this parable to them. And he explains to them, the seed is the word of God. So we can think of that seeding of the seed of the word of God as the preaching of the gospel. And Jesus said there are really only two kinds of hearers. Those who bear fruit of faith and repentance, and those who don't. Those who bring forth the crop of harvest, and those who don't. And among those who don't, Jesus describes three of them. He said, when you think of that seed that falls by the wayside, that's like people who hear a sermon, and as soon as they hear it, the devil comes along and takes it away. Takes that word right out of their hearts. Just like the birds came and pecked those seeds off that part of the field where it was trampled down by the wayside. And it's gone. And then he says, when you hear of that seed that fell on the rocks, that's like people who hear a sermon, hear the gospel, they receive it with joy, and they are oh so happy for a little while. They have no root. And for a little while, they believe, but then a time of temptation comes and they fall away. And Jesus says, when you hear of that seed that falls among the thorns, that's like people who hear the gospel, who hear the sermon, and they go out and they are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring forth no fruit. Well, all three of those kinds of hearers have something in common. They all hear the word, exactly the same word, and they all bring forth no fruit. But Jesus also said there's another kind of hearer. When you hear of the seed that falls on the good ground, then that is a person with an honest and a good heart who hears the word and keeps it. Keeps it and brings forth fruit with patience. Now, that happens every time the gospel is proclaimed. Also here today, this morning, this afternoon, there are only two kinds of hearers. Both kind hear the same word. It's the same seed, the same word of God. We all hear the same message. One kind brings forth fruit, and the other one does not. A few weeks ago, we began a new series of sermons on the order of salvation. We focused on Ephesians 2, verse 8 that day. By grace are ye saved. And we began to answer the question, how does God the Holy Spirit apply the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the souls of the elect? How does it get what Christ did and what we have explained in the scriptures, how does that get into our hearts? What happens? That is by the Word of God. First of all, by the calling of the Word of God. And by regeneration. And by repentance and faith and justification and sanctification and glorification. All of that the Spirit takes of Christ and works by grace in a sinner's heart. It begins with the calling of the Word of God. That's our focus today. We want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24, and many other verses. This will not be our only text. But here we start. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That text and many others, since it is a topical sermon. And our theme is, God calls sinners. We want to look first of all at the gospel or the external call. And secondly, at the effectual or the internal call. God calls sinners by the external gospel call and the internal effectual call. The gospel call is commanded to the church to proclaim the gospel call. It's not an option. In fact, it is the number one main work of the church is to preach the gospel. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And in Mark 16, verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And you hear then the absolute language. The gospel call must be brought to all people, all nations, says Jesus. Every creature, all the world. The call of the gospel must go forth to every single human being. That's the command for the church. Now in the Reformed faith, some people struggle with this because they say, we believe in God's sovereign election. That God sovereignly, graciously chooses his people from before the foundation of the world, and that he will save those whom he has chosen, and only those. So why should we bring the gospel to everybody? Let's just bring it to those whom he has chosen. No, says Jesus, you don't know who those are whom I have chosen. That's why Scripture clearly teaches, preach it to all. And we don't need to make sense out of this in light of election. The gospel is to be proclaimed to all people indiscriminately, promiscuously, wherever God brings the gospel. That's the rule for the church of God, is what God's word reveals. And he himself will take care of the outcome. So when a church goes to proclaim the gospel, whether in a local congregation or in a mission setting, home missions or foreign missions, that is the job of the church, to proclaim the gospel and to leave the results with God. He will bring about his desired predetermined outcome, but the free offer of the gospel must be proclaimed. We read it in 1 Corinthians 1. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it is always by the preaching of the gospel that God saves those who believe. God works by his word and Holy Spirit using the preaching of the gospel as the foremost means of grace. The number one means of grace is the preaching of God's word. So we may think of this calling of the gospel, the external call, as a gracious work of God. And by that call, he invites sinners, by means of the gospel, to exchange the state of sin and wrath they find themselves in for Christ and life and joy and forgiveness, and to be reconciled to God and to obtain godliness and salvation, all through the gospel call. Last Sunday we read it from the Canons of Dort, Article 5. The gospel call must be declared and published to all nations and to all persons promiscuously without distinction, to whom God, out of his good pleasure, sends the gospel. So wherever the gospel is proclaimed, God is sending it out of his good pleasure. We hear the gospel. Many of us have heard it all of our lives because God, in his good pleasure, sends it to us. It is the external call, and its content you find, for example, in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 14. God called you, says Paul to the Thessalonians, by our gospel. That's how God calls sinners. But children, what is the gospel? When you hear the word gospel, what comes to your mind? Gospel is good news. Glad tidings of good news. And we bring that gospel. And we bring that gospel by coming to people and being very upfront with them and very honest with them, calling them what Scripture calls them. We say, you know something, you are a sinner. And you are subject to the wrath of God because you have sinned against him, and you are traveling on a way that leads to eternal damnation and hellfire. But God, as we heard last week from Ephesians 2, but God has sent his Son. He has given his only begotten Son so that every sinner who believes in him will not perish and will not have to face eternal damnation from his God, but may have eternal life through Christ the Lord. And we proclaim that gospel. We tell the sinners in Christ the substitute, in his suffering, in his death, there is perfect satisfaction for the justice of God that you have offended. And now Christ comes in the gospel and he offers you the only way to be acquitted at the judgment seat. To be acquitted from the guilt and the punishment that you so justly deserve for your sins. In the perfect obedience of Christ, there is perfect holiness. And he offers this to you, and he completely saves all who go to God through him. And Christ in the gospel offers you himself, his merits. He offers you eternal salvation. Yes, the gospel call is an offer. It is also an invitation. He calls, he invites everyone to receive salvation. And not just in the New Testament. No, this began in the Old Testament already. I find in Isaiah 45 the gospel call. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the world. There's the gospel call in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Revelation 22:17. Whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And when you do, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an earnest invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself invites sinners to come to him. In repentance and faith, he cries out in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in that gospel call, we may never minimize the seriousness of sin. If there were no sin, there would be no need for the gospel call. The very fact that there is a gospel tells us there must be a reason for this gospel. And we must never underemphasize the importance of faith and genuine repentance, because the gospel invitation is not only an invitation, but at the same time, it is a command that comes to all who hear the gospel. It's a command. You remember from Mark chapter 1? Jesus came, verse 14, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, certainly if anyone ever preached the gospel, it would be Jesus. So let's listen to the Lord Jesus as he preaches the gospel of the kingdom of God. He says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Two gospel commands: to repent and believe the gospel. So that the gospel offer and the gospel invitation is not something that you are free to accept or decline, that you can just refuse if you like. No, it's not like an invitation to dinner with your relatives, but it is an order of the sovereign Lord of all creation to come to him and be saved. It is an order that if you ignore it, it's at the cost of your eternal destination. If you refuse, it will cost you your life. So the gospel call is an earnest call to faith and repentance. And in this gospel call, there is the promise. The promise of the gospel is that whoever believes in Christ crucified shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who believe and repent in response to this call do receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life with Christ. So we may say this afternoon, when you repent of your sins and turn to God and believe the gospel, you receive what is promised in the gospel, that is given to you that very moment. As we go and carry on with this next week, we will see that that consists of regeneration and repentance and faith. Those are all works of God, all gifts of God given to those sinners who believe the gospel. The external call invites all the hearers. No one is excluded who hears the gospel. No one is excluded from its invitation. No one is rejected because of the greatness of their sin. No, in Christ Jesus, eternal righteousness is enough for the sins of the whole world, says Scripture. Jesus Christ can and will save everyone who by faith takes hold on him. We know that's true because Scripture says so. That's why he came. Luke 19 verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And even if you think, I am the worst sinner that ever walked on the face of this earth, certainly it can't be for me. Well then listen to the Scriptures. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. See? God says, this gospel invitation opens heaven for you. In Jesus' days, the kingdom of heaven was opened to the most despised people there were. In those days, children, the most despised people in Jesus' days were tax collectors and adulterers. Jesus went to them, proclaimed the gospel. Some of them believed, and heaven was opened. We would say today, think of the worst, most despised people on this earth. Who are they? The pimps? The gangsters? The terrorists of the world? Every one of them who repents and believes the gospel, heaven is open for them. For such sinners as them, and such sinners as you and me. Isn't it a great privilege to be under the preaching of the Word of God, under the proclamation of the gospel? This is the very means that God has ordained to bring His message, to bring His gospel, the very means that He has ordained to work faith in the hearts of sinners. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Compare yourself for a moment to most of the people in the whole world. We are among the top 10% when it comes to hearing the gospel. Think if you were born and raised in Iraq, children. Most likely, you would never hear of Jesus the Savior. You would not hear of free grace. You would not hear of gospel promises and invitations. But here we do. We have God's Word. We are so richly blessed to have that Word in our own language. We may worship freely still. Today we may. Who knows how much longer. And we are so richly blessed because God's Word is truth. And this gospel is sufficient for everyone. You can rely on God's Word. He will not deceive you. That Word promises salvation to all who believe and repent of their sins. So you may say, unwarranted by Scripture, when I believe the gospel and repent of my sins, I shall be saved. And when I believe and when I repent, I am saved. And you don't need to torment yourself either with the question, is this gospel offer for me? Yes, it is. Indeed, it is. God addresses you personally in His Word by name. See, there's one name that we all share. We all share the name sinner. And it says God calls sinners to repentance. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. That's your name. Sinner. So this gospel proclamation, the gospel offer, the invitation, the command comes to you the moment you hear the preaching of the Word. It's a great privilege, but it's a great responsibility too, because it brings upon you the duty to believe. It's your duty to take God at His Word. And to respond to His Word. To believe the testimony that God gives of His Son. That Son who is offered to you. It's your duty to repent and to believe. And when you do, you are saved. Christ offers perfect salvation to imperfect sinners like you and me. Yet many who are called by the gospel do not repent and believe in Christ. Many will not give up their unrighteous life or their self-righteous life and turn to God. Many think that this Christian religion, that's much too restrictive. Or there are some who think, oh no, the Christianity of today, that's much too liberal. I'm not going there. Many refuse to take God's word seriously. Knowing, even knowing, that you will perish in unbelief. May I ask a question of those among us who as of yet have not turned to God and have not repented and do not believe on Christ, who still trust in something else? May I ask you, is there some defect? Is there some insufficiency in his sacrifice that he offered on the cross? Is there something lacking in the gospel offer? Is there something wrong with Jesus Christ that you would refuse the only way of salvation that's freely offered to you? Oh, you need to know, my friend, that your unbelief and your lack of repentance is completely 100% your own fault. It's your own fault. If the gospel call does not bear the fruit of repentance and faith in your life, it is your own fault because of the hardening of your own heart. We confessed it from Canons of Dort, second head, article 6. It's the hardness of your own heart that causes you to refuse to obey God's gospel call. What does Jesus say to those who refuse? Listen to just a few examples. John 5:39. You will not come to me. That's what he says. You will not come to me that you might have life. If you come to me, you will have life. But he says, you will not, that you might have life. He said in John 4, verse 48, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And there are people among us today still who are waiting for some signs, some wonders, to know that they can believe. Jesus says, you will not believe. You will not come to me. He cries weeping from the mountain. Luke 13, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. You would not. He doesn't say, oh, you poor people, you could not. No, you would not. Would not. While many people do not repent and believe, there are also many who do. Who actually do repent from their sins and truly believe and are delivered and saved completely from sin and destruction through the death of Christ. Hearing the same message, the same sermons, the same words, the same text, in the same style, exactly the same. Now we know from Scripture that by nature we are all the same, dead in trespasses and sins, without Christ, without hope, without God in the world. What then makes the difference? Why does one person believe the gospel and the other one doesn't? Well, we heard now why that one doesn't believe. It's because of the hardening of his own heart. It's because he will not come to Christ. It's because he will not believe unless he sees signs and wonders. It's because he would not. But why does the other one do believe? Why? Why is there this difference when they hear exactly the same external gospel? Well, that's the subject of our second point, the effectual call. God calls sinners through the external call. Secondly, through the internal or effectual call. The call of the gospel, we have heard, is given to all who hear the external call. But it's made effectual, or it becomes effective, only in some. So we read, for example, in John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So there were many people who were following Jesus, listening to his word, listening to his preaching, watching his miracles. They're called disciples. They were all under that same call. They heard and they decided, no more of this. We're going home. They walk no more with him. And Jesus turns to the rest of his disciples and he says, will ye also go away? And then you hear the answer of a person in whom God has worked with his effectual call. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, they had heard exactly the same message, but Peter knows it. Peter wants to stay with Jesus. Where else can we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Why did the rest of them leave Jesus and no more follow after him? Because they didn't realize it. It wasn't brought home to their hearts that Christ had the words of eternal life. And to whom else can we go? As you can know already from that little example whether the word of God has been made effectual in your heart. That will be your language too. You will say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, to whom can we go? There's nowhere else. Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, what makes a person a true believer is that the gospel call is made effectual. Look at Romans 8 for just a moment. Verse 28, we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things in this world are working together for the good of those who love God. And who are they? Well, they are the called according to his purpose. Does that mean everybody who heard the gospel? No, because they don't all believe. They don't all love God. But those who do are effectually called. Who are they? Well, there's something that was going on before that time. In Romans 8:29, you see it. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is the called. Those whom he called effectually through the preaching of the word of God. You find it in 1 Corinthians 1, 23 and 24. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Those who are called. Those for whom that outward gospel call has come inside. Went to work on them, affecting them, working effectively. The word church in Greek means the called out ones. So there you have the definition, called out from the world into communion with God. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 5, our gospel came unto you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And he writes in chapter 2, verse 13, for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. That's that effectual working of the Word of God that goes to work in a sinner's heart. And then you no longer hear sermons as the words of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually works in you that believe. Well, what do you mean, Paul, that the Word, the gospel came not in word only, not in words of men? Of course it came in words. Paul was preaching and he spoke words just like we do. And it was the words of a man. But that's not what turned these idol worshippers into saints. Paul could convert no one, no matter how eloquently he proclaimed the word. He could bring it no further than to people's ears. But what happened? It came in power. It came in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. That's what makes the gospel call an effectual call. The working, the driving it home in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not due to man's free will that many are saved. If it were up to man's free will, nobody would be saved. But it's by God's decree and the irresistibility of that call. It is God's special grace whereby he calls the elect sinners effectively. It will not fail. Even though there are no qualifications whatsoever in that sinner. Scripture makes it very clear. Ephesians 2 verse 1, for example, the dead are made alive. Romans 5 verse 10, enemies are reconciled to God. It's not the doing of that enemy himself. That's not the doing of that dead sinner himself. That is the work of Almighty God. And the Word of God makes it very clear that nobody by nature wants to come to Christ. In fact, by nature, nobody is able to come to Christ. Jesus says it, John 6, 44, no man can come to me unless the Father which has sent me draws him. Why is that? Why is it that no man can come to Christ unless the Father draws him? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 8 verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And an enemy will not come. That's why he cannot come. It is God's work to open the hearts of sinners like he opened Lydia's heart. It's God's work to make a new creation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, is David's prayer in Psalm 51. And God calls his elect people through the preaching of the Word of God. And if you just scan through Scripture and follow this, you see that he calls his people out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. God calls his people unto the fellowship of the Son of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. Galatians 5:13. You have been called unto liberty. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. You are called unto God's kingdom and glory. God has called us unto holiness. You are called unto eternal life. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, God has called you into his marvelous light. And in the same letter, the next chapter, verse 9, you are called to inherit a blessing. And God has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. All of this through the preaching of the word. The gospel call made effectual through the Holy Spirit of God. That effectual calling is what God uses to regenerate, to bring to life a dead sinner. An effectual call is the instrument. And next week, we will see that that regeneration, that act of making alive, comes through the Word of God. That's because that effectual call overpowers all resistance. By nature, all people, reprobates and elect, resist the gospel call because of that enmity that's in us. But nobody is able to resist the effectual call. And God sends His Word by His Spirit and power into your heart. You will not resist. You will no longer want to resist. It is by that effectual call that Manasseh in the Old Testament acknowledges the Lord is God. It's by that effectual call that Zacchaeus comes down out of his tree and receives Jesus into his home. It is by that effectual call that Saul on the way to Damascus says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When God calls you, with his effectual call, you will come to him. So we turn a moment to the parable of the sower. This morning, this afternoon, the seed of the Word of God has been sown. It has fallen on all of us. Will it bear fruit in you? Has it ever borne fruit in your life? Or will it be like in this parable, seed that fell by the wayside? And even at this very moment, the birds already pecking it away. I think sometimes we are so helpful to the birds, don't you? I think sometimes what we talk about on our way home in the van, and I think, oh Lord, we are closer, very closely related to these birds that just pick the seeds away. What do you talk about on your way home? Or what will you talk about at the supper table tonight with your children, parents? Our children now are so tender. Don't you be an instrument of Satan. Don't you be like those birds, parents, that peck the seeds away from your children's hearts already? Or will it be like the seed that fell on the rocky soil? Maybe quickly springing up, joyful, but just as quickly will it die? Because there's no moisture, it says there. There's no moisture. No rain of the Holy Spirit. No tears of sorrow about sin. Temptations come. The plant fades and dies. Oh, how we need that constant prayer. Oh, Lord God, bless the Word. Make it effectual for me and for my children, my grandchildren. Will you be like the seed that fell among the thorns? Thorns springing up and choking the seed of the Word. Jesus says it's like when you have heard the Word, you go forth and you are choked with the cares of this life. Oh, there's so many cares that can choke out the seed. Cares of the economy. Who's not concerned about the economy these days? Cares in our family circles. Cares about how we're going to make ends meet in the next few years. So many cares choking out the Word. Or it says choke with the riches. Maybe the economy is not affecting you at all and you're still glorying in your property, your possessions, all your stuff. Choking out the Word. Or choked with the pleasures of this life. The entertainment, the sports, whatever it is, makes no difference. Makes no difference what chokes it. When it is choked, it brings forth no fruit. Or, by God's gracious effectual calling, will it be like the seed that fell on the good ground? The soil of your heart, prepared by the Holy Spirit, making your heart good and honest. And having heard the Word, will you keep it and guard it and believe it and live according to that word, then you will be bringing forth fruit with patience, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, long-suffering, self-control. That's the result of God's effectual call. If you believe, like I do, that by nature we are totally dead in sin, and by nature unable to respond to the gospel call, unless God in His sovereign grace changes your heart and mind so that you become alive from being spiritually dead, then you realize how desperately you need God's effectual call. It's an absolute necessity. We cannot make ourselves alive. Our ears are deaf by nature to the gospel call. Our eyes are blind to the light. We need a miracle. And every born again saint is a miracle. A miracle of God, and it occurs when God in His amazing grace calls us effectually through His Word and Spirit from spiritual death to spiritual life. Spiritual darkness into His marvelous light. When you know in your life and in your heart the effectual calling of the Word of God, that sermons and readings of God's Word are not the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. And you will want to have more. Because that effectual call creates a hungering in our hearts. A hunger to know more and more of Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit testifies of Him always. He will testify of me. Whatsoever I have said, He will bring to your remembering. And you will know from the Word of God that in Him, in this Christ, is all that you need. It's not necessary to explain how you received the effectual calling. Maybe you don't even know a time when it was any different. Maybe all you've known all your life since you were a little child is that you love the Word of God. And you love the God of the Word. And He has given you a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a desire for holiness. And the longing of your heart to live in a way that pleases Him. Maybe that's all you've ever known. Wonderful. Praise the Lord for this. That is the work of God. It also works at the same time. Yes, a love for holiness and a hatred for sin. A hatred and an aversion to anything that is not to His honor and glory. And it makes you very, very careful. Very careful about your lifestyle. It cannot be otherwise. You consider what we heard this morning, what the Lord Jesus Christ endured for you, dear believer. He took your sins upon Him. Then can you just go on sinning so lightly, so easily, with a kind of, well, who cares kind of attitude? How can it be? Who cares is never the language of a believer. Because Christ cares. And God cares enough to send His only begotten Son to die for those sins. Oh then, let us always be careful how we treat Him. And how it is that, you know, we confess, right, in the catechism, three things necessary to know: how great my sins and miseries are, how I may be delivered, and when we are delivered, how I may show my gratitude. Such deliverance. And a careless walk of life in a Christian shows you don't grasp yet what that deliverance is. What exactly you were delivered from and what you were delivered to. that you may know that God's word is effectual for you because Christ Jesus becomes precious to you, becomes your most prized possession. And you say with Peter, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You always need to remember in closing just one thought. There is no internal effectual calling without the external gospel call. It's the same sermon. It is received by faith with those who receive it effectually. And it's simply another gospel call that will be pushed aside by those who don't believe the gospel and repent of their sins. Don't you think we are involved in very, very serious business as the church of God in preaching the gospel? It's the most serious business there is. Because children, your eternal destination is hanging in the scales based on what you do in response to this gospel call. Amen. Let's pray. Lord our God, we come before Thee with thanksgiving for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know, O Lord, that that gospel is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We also know, Lord, from that word, that as in our natural state we will not come to Thee. We also know, Lord, that Thou dost work through Thy word and Spirit to bring the word home to the hearts of Thy people. Thou hast done it for so many of us already. Lord, we pray that it may be for every single one of us, that no one of us would be left behind. That we may know that God's word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. And when the Son of God shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Bless Thy word of this day. Be with us this week. Lord, wilt Thou bless us in our daily work to return to our jobs, and we are faced again with the pressures of our daily lives. Grant, Lord, that we may be mindful that the Lord our God is in control of all things. Nothing can happen to us outside of Thy will. That even the very hairs of our head are numbered by the Lord. Bring us safely to our homes. Give us a good evening together with family. Tonight we pray that our conversation may be on the one thing needful. And that is to be in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.